James.
It's me and you, brother.
He sounds Slick. He sounds like the doctor of style.
Kenny was doing Doc Rivers as Michael Wilbon.
I can't do a Michael Wilbon. I know that. I don't have an impression for Mike Wilbon.
Secondly, Barry's head is like he looks like he sat next to the dude in Beetlejuice and stole
Barry,
his number.
Barry looks fantastic.
Barry would hit 25 home runs today.
Barry, okay.
He did 25 home runs. He got it like that. He's that. He's him.
No. No, he wouldn't.
Hey, he would hit 25.
No, he would not. Hey, he would not hit 25 home runs.
He just can't run the bases. He'd hit 25.
No, he wouldn't. Stop it.
Don't disrespect him.
That's not disrespect. That's disrespecting like every pitcher in Major League Baseball. I hate fake laughter. Oh, my gosh. These dudes are goofy.
We got James Hamm with us on Malik Monk Day. Before we go into, because we're about to dive in, there was something I saw that was interesting that I wanted to run by you before the day's over. The LA 28 people, like Los Angeles Committee for the Olympics, they announced some of the venues, right? Basketball is going to be in the Intuit Dome.
Okay.
Gymnastics is going to be in Crypto Arena.
Okay.
Swimming is going to be at SoFi.
Okay.
That'll be interesting.
There's a lot that goes into that swimming thing, as I learned going to the aquatic center.
Yeah.
It's really hot.
Pool has to stay warm or something?
The pool stay warm, obviously, but like it sends out heat like that.
It's really warm. Got you.
Yeah.
They got a picture of what it'll look like. That's going to look fire. The swimming pool, like in SoFi, because I got the open roof.
Yeah.
It's going to be fire. Yeah. Obviously, track and field is at the Coliseum. Anybody want to take a guess where softball is going to be at? Softball and canoeing. Anybody want to take a guess?
I'll go softball probably at it. Maybe where the Angels play.
Okay, where Angels play. James, you want to take a guess of where softball and canoeing? They're both going to be in the same location.
I'm going something with the college then.
Yeah, I was going to say UCLA or USC.
Oklahoma City.
Oh.
What part of Los Angeles? Is that next to Compton? Is that by Watts? Where is that?
Los Angeles did
not. Who on stage from the Kendrick Lamar show was from Oklahoma City, Los Angeles?
I'm
pretty sure that Oklahoma City is about the furthest thing from Watts and the furthest thing from.
Los Angeles did not have canoeing, slalom, and softball venues that met international competition standards. They're going to be in Oklahoma City.
Well, sucks for them.
No, right? Damn.
Yeah, you get to go to the Olympics, but you're going to Oklahoma City, pal. Like, do you even get to go to do you have to go to the opening ceremonies and fly to Oklahoma City?
I would think so.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that's all bad. I'd quit softball.
How do you all have a place you can play softball?
Forget my Olympic dreams. I ain't going to Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City? Forget it.
And they couldn't, nobody before Oklahoma City had something similar to that.
Vegas doesn't have something?
Mark
could build something.
It would be 190 degrees, but still.
Wow.
Toasty softball game there. Well, you could do it at the new A's stadium that's going to have, that new state-of-the-art venue that's going
There's
up.
There's that. Hell, they could have came to Center Hill
Park. We're not talking about the 2050 Olympics.
Oh. Well. I speculated. Have you, had a nice little drink to celebrate Malik Monk Day and your impending vacation?
No, not yet.
He glances off to the bar like, that's a good idea.
I'm looking at a bunch of liquor right now. I'm thinking, could I make a real quick Manhattan while we're on the air here? That's possible. I probably could do that.
Do what you got to do. Maybe James could be the bartender at Malik's.
James, would you like the bartender duties at our new nightclub Malik's?
Yes. I would bartend.
You and Warren.
Yeah. Oh, we got it. Oh, we turned it up.
I have a portable bartender set. Like I literally have like a thing that rolls out and you unsnap it and it's got like all my bartender tools. I'm just saying.
What is it?
Okay, I got bartender. I got the. I don't know what to do with any of them except the shaker.
You got the shaker. You got to have the long spoon, right?
I got the long spoon. I got the strainer. Yeah. I got that weird. I don't know how to describe it. And
well,
because,
go ahead.
No, I'm not. No, just forget it. Sit down. Sit down.
What you got for
everybody,
me?
Everybody sit down. Just forget it.
We were so close.
Just forget it. It's Malik Monk Day. Malik Monk is back with the Sacramento Kings. Let's start with questions I feel like you can answer. We've had our fun all day. We've talked about this, and you know, you talked about it all morning on the Insiders, but let's dive into like some nuts and bolts here. What are the financial ramifications of this as to what the Kings can do now? Because it's fun today. Draft is coming up on Wednesday. We're gonna hit Janet Jackson mode real quickly with what have you done for me lately? And, you know, start talking about what's next. So what are the financial ramifications as it pertains to this offseason with the Malik Monk deal?
Yeah, so it's like TBD. Like, that's how I would describe it. So if you're going to sign Monk, number one, you can't sign him until July 6th anyways. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do in like with trades and everything else, just keep that in mind that there's a very specific order that you sign all of these deals in. And because Malik is, he's an early bird. His cap hold is like 12, 13 million. Because of that, you probably will do most of your other transactions before you complete his deal in mm-hmm. itself. That if the Kings did nothing else as of right now, they would jump from a little over 150 million to roughly 167.5 million. Let's just say 168 million. On top of that, because they have the 13th pick in the draft and the 13th pick has a $5 million cap hold, the Kings technically would be over the salary cap. I mean, over the luxury tax. Luxury tax is right at like 171 point something million. They would exceed that and they would have to pay some sort of luxury tax. I think the biggest thing about the luxury tax that I'll point out is that if you are a luxury tax team, you pay in and you don't get anything back. If you're not a luxury tax team, all these other teams pay in and then you get a big fat check at the end of the year. And I can't remember what the dollar figure was. It was either 12 million or it was 19 million bucks for this year that non-tax teams are getting from the other group, from the Warriors, from, you know, name that team that went well over the cap and has to pay a luxury tax. So it's not just that you have to pay a little bit. It's that you also don't get that other money. So it's a pretty big sizable swing there. But like, look, first of all, salary cap isn't fully calculated until the end of the season. So you have all this time to figure it out. It would limit what you could do as far as like if they sign Monk and they haven't made trades and they've got their first round pick, they would still, I'm pretty sure, have a mid-level exception. But if you go above the first apron, which is at like 78 million, you are instantly hard capped going forward. Mm-hmm. So you could not make any other move pretty much the rest of the year outside of like waiving some people. Mm-hmm. So it's a little crazy, but keep in mind the Kings have $27 million in expiring contracts, and that's between... again, I call them expiring contracts. I don't want to offend anybody, but like realistically, Trey Lyles has 1 year at $8 million. Davion has 1 year at $6.5 million. Sasha Vezinkov 1 year at $6.7 million, and 1 year at $5.9 million for Chris Duarte. So you still have plenty of room there. You also have $35 million or so combined between Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes. So you have these other players that might work where you trade a $6 million for a $4 million player and move down below the salary, the luxury tax, or you trade for a $34 million player, but you only send out $28 million. So there's $6 million you drop below the cap. So there are ways to actually move around.
I think, for sure. I think James was breaking all this down. I want to make sure I have him right, though. Like, were you kind of talking about the possibility of the signing for Malik Monk being official maybe later in the process? Like, they got a deal in principle. It's going to happen. But maybe him signing at a different time, which allows him by the cap, which allows the Kings, excuse me, by the cap rules to be able to will and deal a little bit without Malik Monk's money on the books, or does that matter at all?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Gotcha. Exactly.
That's the whole LeBron James thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
LeBron would sign his contract late in free agency after the team made all of their moves.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, I mean, it's a little different because LeBron's cap hold is always gigantic because of the money that he makes. And I am not Ham in the chat. It's a little less than 12 million. I thought that's what I was thinking. It's 11 point something. That's what the non-taxpaying teams get a check for. So the Kings will get a check for that. So Kenny, they'll sign on the same day, but it's literally what you sign first, what you send into the league first. Like, there has to be an order to it. And it's why a couple of years ago, like, the Kings had to use up all of their salary cap space before they signed Rashawn Holmes to his to the biannual exception. Right. Or one of the exceptions, I think it was a biannual exception. He got a 2-year, $10 million deal, and they had to sign all of the other deals that they had that summer to eat up all the cap space and then use the exception after that. Or maybe they use the non-tax paying, but no room exception that to sign him. And so there are all of these sort of rules in how you finish the transaction at the end.
I'm trying to remember the vibes. Anyone remember the vibes around the Rashawn signing?
The first one?
No, the second one.
Oh,
they're super high. Everyone was super excited.
That's what I thought.
They thought it was gone. Like, they thought he had no chance of signing. They thought
his agent did him a terrible disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pedro Powers disservice. was his agent at the time, and he was telling everybody, including Rich, that he was going to get him $20 million a year, 18 to 20. And then even when he didn't get that, they tried to add on so they added on a 15% trade kicker. So I got that number. Shams got the number that night that, hey, he's signing a 4-year, $54 million deal. And we knew it was the same situation. He was in a bird situation, an early bird situation, and the most he could sign for was like a 4-year, 47 or 48 million. And it's like, okay, that number's high. What are we doing here? And basically, it turned out that he had like slightly inflated the number. And because Rashawn got a 15% trade kicker, and he had done the math as if Rashawn got traded like day one. Because the way trade, yeah, so to, and added it to the money,
he sheftered the deal,
so
he blew it up a little bit,
and it was bad for us. It looked bad on for me or for Shams because we're like, well, why did you guys present a bad number? And it's like, well, because the Kings could have cleared enough cap space. The Kings were very close to actually having cap space at that time. They could have traded like Marvin Bagley and come up with enough cap space to sign him to more money. And that's what, like, initially we're like, okay, well, is that what they did? But then we figured out down the road that no, he had inflated the number by adding in the trade kicker, which again, I assume that Malik is probably going to get the same thing. And basically what that is any year that's guaranteed. So the first 3 years of Malik's deal are guaranteed. Mm-hmm. If he gets traded, he gets 15% extra for each of those years that are guaranteed. So it would be 17.4, 18 point whatever, 20.1, I think it's 18.6, 20.1. So it would be roughly 55.6 million or something. I think that's a dollar figure. So he could get 15% of that, which is a substantial amount of money. I think it's around 780 million, 7.8 million, something like that. So
trade kickers have become relatively common and can easily be waived and discarded.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
Harrison Barnes has one.
The player has to. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Again, it feels like it's normal. I'm not sure Harrison would play this trade kicker, like, get that money. But I don't – maybe Bradley Beal did. Like, some of these deals get done with, like, trade kickers waived. So yeah. They're – I guess they're interesting little things to put in there, but
– it seems like a maybe a safety type thing for if you get traded to somewhere you don't want to be necessarily, where you can
cover my moving expenses,
yeah, exactly.
Pal.
Like, all right, you guys got to pick this
thing.
Yeah. But if you like the place, you're like, ah, don't worry about it, man.
You got me going to Oklahoma City to watch softball and canoeing, man. Give me my good team, but you're going to have to pay me.
So we have this too, Michael Gallery in the Matthews Mattress chatty house.
Go to MatthewsMattress.com, find the location nearest you.
Michael, the Malik Monk deal is not 3 years. It's 4 years. There is a player option for the fourth year, but it's still considered a four-year deal. If anything happens to him, or heaven forbid, he's just not better than a $20 million player, he'll accept that fourth year and be like, it's a four-year deal. I mean, the fact that it's a player option, that doesn't change the fact that it's a 3 or 4 year deal.
So
it's still a 4 year deal.
Let's walk through that part a little bit, because Kenny and I have been of the belief that of the different scenarios that we think were out there for Malik, we certainly don't know, but the different scenarios that we think were out there for Malik, like Orlando, potentially San Antonio, Detroit seems to have gotten a lot of conversation here today. Sacramento was the one that felt most likely to where, hey, you can sign a 3 or 4 year contract or whatever, you know, the 4 year deal, whatever you want right now. But your best opportunity to sign another really good contract is probably going to be here in Sacramento, especially if things are building the way that they are. He's got an opt out, you know, he has a player option year that fourth year, but he can negotiate, like he can, sign an extension after the third year, correct?
Yes.
Or during the third year. I should say during the third year, not after, but during that third year of the season, the third year of the contract, excuse me, he can sign an extension, correct?
Well, technically, okay, there's a couple of things here. Number one, if somehow the Kings had cap space, they could do the same thing they did with Sabonis, where they renegotiated a year and then extended, right? But
and that's not common. Like that, what the Kings did with Sabonis is not super common. It's just James sniffed it out like 6 months in advance and it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I totally, that's not going to happen because the Kings would have to drop below the salary cap in order to do that. And that's what the Kings did. They were so far below the cap that they were able to cut a chunk of their actually salary cap space, stack it on Sabonis's deal, and then renegotiate a longer and extend for a longer term, and then have his raises and his money based off of that new dollar amount. So he went from 22 million. I think they added 8 point something, and then they can do 8% raises off of that dollar figure for an extension, as opposed to him getting just like, if they would have had to wait until this off season to actually extend him, because if not, his dollar figure at 22 million was way too low for him. He wouldn't have, you can only give I think it's a 20% raise for a free agent. Like, don't quote me on that, but it's something around that. So once they gave him the bump in pay and pushed him up closer to his ceiling, his max money for his years of service, then they gave him the 8% raises on top of that. So technically speaking, the Kings could do that with Monk down the road, but it would require them to drop back below the salary cap, which I'll keep saying this. There's no way the Kings aren't going to be under the salary cap maybe ever again for like the next 10 years. That was one summer where they had money. So now once we move forward with Monk, once they get, if I'm not mistaken, they can get 2 years in and he basically can opt out of his final year. And if there's 1 year left on his deal, which that would be 1 year left if you only had the one guaranteed year,
yeah,
they could extend him on top of after his second year, but the third year salary would remain the same. It'd be the 20.1 million or whatever. Then the next year it would bump up and bump up and bump up. But again, it would be based off of a percentage of the money that he can make a raise that he could make.
So he can make a lot more guaranteed money a lot sooner than I think we originally thought. Like opting out of that fourth year before that third year gets underway. In 2 years, he can sign a contract extension.
And this, I'm sorry, James, but I was just, both of you guys could help me.
So just ahead of the Kings' third championship, he can sign an extension. So
they're going for the three-peat.
Yeah.
But this is almost like what we talked about a little bit, where you've got the, by signing with the Kings, and maybe this was the same for anybody else, I don't know if it's exclusive to the Bird rights or not, but by signing that deal with the Kings, you locked in the $78 million. Like, that's what you're getting. Mm-hmm. If worst case scenario, you locked in the $78 million, but you have potential renegotiating and outs and stuff like that, where you can turn that 78 into 130 on this contract. You don't even have to be like an, like it's going to be an extension of this contract, but because was that exclusive to the Kings, or would he have that same ability if he would have signed with the Magic to renegotiate in, you know, during year three or something like that?
No, he would have the same ability wherever he went.
Gotcha.
It's just the fact that, like, the Kings can, as long as his contract is over, the Kings can circumvent the cap to go to sign him for whatever up to his years of service going forward, because once he gets done with year one, he will have full Larry Bird rights moving forward, because that'll give him his third year with the Kings. So again, once we get to year four, that's when he'll be able to sign an extension. Now, he might still be stuck like Sabonis was with like the 20% raise or whatever. So he might have to wait until the end of year three and then renegotiate as a true free agent that summer, void the final year of his deal and move forward with a new contract then. But again, we're talking about way off in the distance for me.
Don't do that. We're getting LeBron. We're getting Malik Monk here for 7 years. That's what we're working on here. We're getting Malik here for 7 years. I was thinking about LeBron because that's what LeBron is facing right now, right? The opt-in, or he can opt-in and sign an extension, or he can opt out and sign it like what's essentially a new contract. That's the scenario we're talking about with Malik Monk is what LeBron James is doing right now. We just don't know which one he's doing yet.
That reminds me. During the break, tell you about what your boy Bill Simmons had to say. That's not my boy.
What
he had to say.
Look, me either.
Jesse was working.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
not
like
gonna.
You. That man.
I won't stand for that.
Yeah, that's your guys. That's your Boston boy, and that's you stay listening to that dude. His wording for something he said was crazy.
Wow.
This is your best friend.
Who?
Bill Simmons came to the party with you.
Man, he really did. That's your boy.
Not good.
All right.
Yeah, so either way, I think the one other thing I would point out is that Malik would have had, he would have only got 5% raises if he went somewhere else, as opposed to 8% raises every year from the Kings. That might not matter if they're offering like $25 million and then they're doing 5% off of $25 million as opposed to 8% off of $17 million, but still it's part of signing with your own team. Your own team, you get the option to give them 8% raises as opposed to 5.
They're facing, like, there's big money ahead of them with the contract Domas has. De'Aaron has an extension that really could happen at any point. Keegan will be coming off of his rookie deal not too far from now. And obviously, you know, Malik's money's a little bit different than those guys, but the Kings got to decide, this is our group. This is the group that we believe, this at least the core of the group that's going to take us to a championship contender.
That's what I think. I'll keep circling the word core. I think the core is now set. We know who the core is. The core is Fox. It's Monk. It's Keegan Murray. It's Domantas Sabonis. And that doesn't matter what position Monk plays. Your core four is that. And then after that, the rest of these players, like, I don't want to say they're interchangeable, but the rest of these players can be looked at as, you know, like as pieces to a puzzle, and you have to put the right pieces around the four, because this is a group who's under contract long term, who you have dedicated and put money into. And then I'd also point out that Monk's money at $17.4 million it's really, really close to in line with what Harrison Barnes is making. So Harrison made 17, 18, and 19. And I think that was right around 13% of the salary cap. So if you're getting Malik Monk at 13% of the salary cap, that's really not that bad. And we all know that the salary cap is going to go up 10% a year moving forward for the next like 5 or 6 years, right? Yeah. Well, while that happens, while it's going up, Malik Monk's contract's only going up 8%. So his value of his contract is going to like slightly diminish as far as a percentage of the cap over the next 3 years, which is a good thing too.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll come back. Sorry, James.
No, someone mentioned Keegan. We have no idea what Keegan's going to make. Like,
we don't know what the numbers are yet, right?
We're a long ways away from knowing what Keegan is going to make as a player, whether it's like someone mentions a 5-year 100 or a 4-year 80 or a 4-year 100. Like, we have no idea. Or he could get De'Aaron Fox money where it's what was that? 5-year 163 or whatever.
What essentially De'Aaron got at the time was what was the max?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He got
it's
the
a max for years of service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he's at.
He got the rookie extension max with the all NBA provisions that, you know, could balloon the contract up. And I mean, this is gonna be Malik's year this is gonna be Keegan's year to show like that's gonna be his contract. Mm-hmm. But he's got a little bit more to show, and we need to see a little bit more from the Kings, and that's what we're gonna talk with. James Hamm, our Kings insider here of the insiders, when D'Lo and KC return on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Celsius, what's wrong with Celsius? Well, that's not what you said, idiot. Well, all right.
Yeah, it's Cialis.
Well, I don't know how that stuff isn't in a vending machine yet, but
I'm sure it is somewhere.
Well, probably is in Vegas.
Hey, no, at Malik's.
At Malik's.
At Malik's.
We got you covered at Malik's, dog.
Y'all need a little performance-enhancing drug? That's all right. We take Apple Pay, Malik's. Cialis, Blue Chew, whatever y'all need. We got you. It's all good.
Oh, man. Malik's is going to be fire.
Yeah, Malik's is turning
up. Malik's mic is shut down the first week.
Well, that'd be on par with a lot of clubs of the early 2000s. No problem. No problem whatsoever. All right, Hammer. This is the big question. We were talking about it with Biederman earlier, a little bit with your partner, Kyle Madsen. I've been talking about it with the chat all day. Vibes are high. Just amazing. There's 4,000 people watching this show live right now and taking part in the Matthews Mattress Chat House. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com. YouTubers, hit the thumbs up. Twitters, hit the retweet, I guess. I don't know.
Retweet for sure.
What now?
This is where things get crazy. I think, like, look, this thing could have been so ugly. I don't know how to explain it, but if Malik Monk decided to go elsewhere and you lost like your third or fourth best player and you had no way to really replace that player, that's a problem. We keep talking about, we could see the Kings going and chasing this guy or this guy that might look like Malik Monk and that might be able to pick up some of the slack and all that stuff. Malik Monk meant way more than to the Kings than just that. He is the glue. He's the funny guy. He's the curator of vibes. Like, Malik means he is a leader on this team. He means a lot to this team, but he's also phenomenal. Like, what he does is very tough to sort of replicate. And the fact is, the Kings would have had like a $12.9 million mid-level exception and like $4.5 million biannual exception, something like that. And that's all they would have had to go out and replace him, plus a number 13 pick in the draft, plus any trade. But now that you have him, you're tiptoeing around the luxury tax. But outside of that, like, you have all of these pieces still in place to go get better players. And that's where I think Monty McNair, he knows where he's at. He knows what the situation is. He's looking at this the same way that we are, that this is a moment for them to strike, that they do have a core, and that core is all under contract for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, even like Keegan Murray Keegan Murray's basically a king for the next 6 years, as long as they don't trade him, because he'll get a rookie scale extension that will keep him in Sacramento. Like De'Aaron Fox, that's the other thing we can just skip over, but like, it's going to be a lot easier for De'Aaron Fox to just sign on the dotted line for a long-term extension with his buddy Malik Monk here in Sacramento as well. And his buddy Domantas Sabonis and like this group of players, I think everyone's excited about. So the question is now, how do you build the team around them? And, you know, it starts with the draft on the 26th and the 27th, but like, I could see movement before then. We're going to see a lot of rumors, which we're already seeing. We're also seeing like a lot of weird aggregation this season, which is, I think it's kind of been growing over the last few years where, you know, a guy like Matt Moore says one thing about a guy like Zach LaVine. And then all of a sudden, like Zach LaVine is going to the Kings. Like that's like all these people are out there just saying like crazy things. So I think what we're going to have to see is, you know, who becomes available, who actually becomes available, because we don't know. We think we know at this point, but I would even say that like the biggest chip the Kings could probably swing for at this point is Brandon Ingram. I don't know if they can put together a package or if they can get a third team involved to go get a guy like that. But, you know, he would be really high on my list because of his age. You're going to have to pay him. You know, Kyle Kuzma is going to become another like name that gets regurgitated like always. You know, Kyle Kuzma has been a Sacramento King basically for the last 4 years, it feels like. And just never actually puts on a uniform. So I think we'll get to one of the, you know, at some point there's going to be some sort of swing for the fence here. I assume if they can find something, I do not expect them to like kind of slow play this at this point. They got a bunch of guys who are between 26 and 28. This is a time to like hit the gas.
You know who I blame for all of the silliness going on in media right now?
Steve and I.
Kendrick and Drake.
Oh boy. Mm.
Kendrick and Drake, because they had this war of words that got everyone's attention, and it's like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to do that. Now Shams and Woj do it. Now Matt Moore and you know, guy in Chicago does it, and Jake Fisher saying, F all of y'all, watch what I got. I blame Kendrick and Drake. It all started with them.
Maybe
the world is gone sideways since Kendrick and Drake.
Cat Williams tried to warn us.
He did.
Tried to tell us. It was like January 3rd. He was like, look, Shannon, it's time.
Well, he was right.
The great thing about what Malik did last night, and to your point as well, James, is it really allows the Kings not only to know, you know, not only to just get Malik Monk back, because that's big in its own right, but it allows them before the draft and before free agency to lock in on something. If even just the draft, like if Malik didn't let them know what was going on before the draft, they'd have to figure out, all right, well, do we, you know, we want to trade the pick, but we also got to protect ourselves for if we lose Malik, and maybe we need another guard and we need another shot creator on the perimeter and all this other stuff. And do we really want to pull the trigger on this trade? Because, you know, we have a potential situation right here that we got to make up for. And with him making this decision as early as it did, it just allows the Kings to zero in on what specifically they want to do to get better, because they know Malik is going to be a part of that. I just think that can't be overstated enough, the timing of this deal going down and how it helps the Kings.
Yeah, that's truly the gift that Malik gave to his team, right? So if Malik wanted to go test free agency and come back on the 30th and, you know, and say, okay, I'm in, that's a lot of lost time. And the fact that he did this now, I think it might be as big as him coming back, because now you know what's happening. You know what the plan is. You can start, like, you can jump to the next step and you can start building out your three or four trade possibilities and, you know, what team you could get involved in this deal, or you can really start to focus. And I think, like, in all honesty, I don't think the Kings have been super hyper focused on the draft. That doesn't mean they don't have a like three or four players at number 13 that they're like, okay, if we're on the clock and we don't have something better to do at this spot, this is who we'll select. But I think when you have a guy like Malik back and you have that whole entire situation just clear, and everyone in the building should be like a deep breath and like anxiety level just dropped. Now it's like, hey, we just tied the game in the ninth, but we still got three more batters to go. Let's see if we can get that one run to get us the win. Either way, we're in extra innings, but let's see if we can play one more run and win this thing. And that's where I think Monty and Wes should be at this point. They should be sending a gigantic bouquet to Malik and his agents, but they should also just like, this is a focal point. Like, now we know the steps forward. How do we execute? How do we get the player that we want to pair with these guys?
Maybe Jeff will love us now.
Hopefully.
Jeff Schwartz. Maybe Jeff Schwartz.
Hopefully we didn't work two deals out now.
Wrap his arms around Sacramento and the franchise. And
I'm about a hug.
Like, hey, that's stuff is in the past. I know that's a movie reference, James. I don't know which one.
Austin Powers, man.
Never seen it.
How about a hawk?
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
I've never seen either one.
I've seen the part ridiculous. Where he's trying to get out of the hallway in the in the golf cart.
In the golf cart.
Yeah. That's just crazy. No. I don't know. I don't know how they got that golf cart there and how they got it out. Like, that's just crazy.
James is laughing so hard. I feel like I need to see this. He was like, Alex,
it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
There's a few one-liners. There's a few things that happen in that movie. Yeah. Anyway.
And you can knock down a wall or, you know, you got a fake wall or whatever. But I'm like, I've always, how'd they get that there? And then how'd they get it out? How'd they get it out of the hallway?
It's kind of funny. I just always assume that when I say these off-the-cuff, like, statements all the time, that people get, because Austin Powers was such a huge movie.
It was a major movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like everyone was watching Austin Powers. So but now that I know that you guys, neither one have ever seen it, like, I'm going to rethink all of these things.
What is
that
he doing? He's trying to make like a 3-point turn or something in this hallway. This is amazing.
See?
It's so silly.
You've been missing this forever.
Incredible. Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, right before that,
and how did he get like that?
I bring this up all the time. All the time. I make this reference. There is a scene right before that where he's driving a steamroller going like 1 mile an hour, and a guy's standing in front of him like, oh, no. But they're like 10 feet away. He's like, get out of the way. He's like, oh, no. He's like, man, get out of the way. And then he runs him over, and he's like, oh, that was horrible. I say that all the – I bring that reference up all the time because it's like, how many times is there something that's super avoidable and someone doesn't get out of the way? They, you know, the Kings have done that many times.
So they're standing in front of him.
Yeah.
Oh my god! This is hilarious. How have I never seen this movie?
No, Austin Powers has. I even I know a couple of the moments from Austin Powers. I don't remember the movie, but you got some funny moments for sure.
I'm hella mad. Am I watching this movie this weekend?
You are.
Beyonce's in gold member.
I know. Now that's when I started to take notice when they got Beyonce.
I think that's the first time I had a crush on a celebrity.
How many?
Had the song. I remember the video. You gotta work it out.
Hold up. Beyonce's your first crush?
I think, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow.
How many Austin Burger. Power movies are there? Two? It's just,
three.
Oh, yeah, there's three? Three.
Beyonce, I think, was in two.
Oh, man.
And then she came out
like,
with
this. No! Move.
Oh, man. I mean, how many times have I said, I'm late, and you guys don't catch that?
I don't know what that means, James.
That's for Alpha Arbisna is late.
Like, I'll watch Austin Powers.
Now with child. That's what that means.
I will.
I'm late.
I won't watch Napoleon Dynamite ever.
Oh, no, you tripping.
Don't do that. Oh, Napoleon Dynamite. That's the one.
That's a classic.
It's yeah, not.
That is one. Cinema.
It's
right
only
there.
Funny cinema. When you guys like act it out. That makes me laugh. The Napoleon, one time
give me
I
some
watched,
of your tots.
Like, this is stupid.
No, I haven't eaten all day.
Tina, eat the food. Get eat the food, Tina. God.
Hey, man. See those mountains over there? I bet you I could throw the football over those mountains over there.
Uncle Rico. All what right. has happened? Oh, my God.
Malik Monk Day. Apparently, Brett Huff has been tweeting updates on the show today, and they're just a series of screenshots of us all laughing. It's a good day in Sacramento.
It's a great day. We got to thank Malik Monk for this, man.
And it looks like Dave Garcia is working on a Malik's design. I see you, Dave.
Oh, let's go.
I see you, Dave.
Let's go, Malik's.
I like it. I like it.
I can't wait to go to Malik's.
We got to scout locations first. We got to scout locations. All right. All right. So we've got Malik Monk signed here for a minimum of 7 years. We got Malik's on the way. We've maxed out Keegan Murray and his upcoming contract, and we just got to figure out who's next. We got to figure out what the next move is. And there's Zach LaVine stories out there. We were talking to our guy Kamara earlier, who's got some pretty good friends around the league. And one thing I don't think we accounted for, because you know we're the basketball geniuses here in Sacramento. We figure everything else out, and everyone's behind us trying to catch up. There might be a handful of suitors for Kyle Kuzma, given his talent level and that contract. And that's when we kind of got stuck on, like, yeah, who actually would be a better, you know, put together a better presentation for Washington for Kyle Kuzma? And I guess the one part that we never know, James, is we always look, oh, the Kings couldn't have gotten this deal done. They only get this particular team only gave up this particular player, but it's a lot of stuff has to do with like available cap space, and then most everything has to do with what direction the team that's trading the player is going. And that's one thing I don't think we can quite put our finger on, is exactly where is Washington going with this? What do they want in return? And can Sacramento even keep up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's where you have to look at the teams that might be intrigued by him. Look at the top 12 teams, the teams that are above Sacramento. The Kings have plenty of ways to get up to Kyle Kuzma's salary. It could be, you know, if they want to do a straight swap because they're worried about luxury tax, right? So you could get there with, like, I don't know, Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell, or you could get there with Kevin Herter and Sasha Vezinkov. You have like, or you could do like three or four of the smaller contracts, right? So the Kings have ways to get there. They could go Sasha Vezinkov, Chris Duarte, and Davion Mitchell, and that would get you within striking distance. And for me, I think the reason why I bring up all the teams above the Kings in the draft is because I think the Kings have the best pick. And if I'm Washington and I'm in the situation I'm in, this has to be about building through the draft. You've got to get more draft picks. You've got to get and immediate, like you're so far behind the eight ball here. And you got, you know, a guy in Jordan Poole, which I don't think teams are clamoring for at all. I think that they traded away quite a few of their assets at the deadline. And now it's about like adding, can they get a couple of picks? Can they, and that's where I think the Kings come in. I think you can, the salary matching is one thing, but it's that number 13 pick that might be able to get you, Kyle Kuzma. And, whether that's enough, I don't know, but I certainly think that there are teams around the league that, you know, might have like the 18th pick or the 24 pick or something that could say, well, this is a good pick too. But the Kings are just closer. Their pick is better, and they even have some serviceable players that can play for you when you're not a good team for the next couple of years. And that should be appealing to Washington as well.
I agree. I took a look at two teams in particular, though, James, that might be able to, you know, put a little bit more on the table than the Kings, and that's the Spurs. They've got two picks in the top 10. So the Spurs, they didn't even have to trade both of them. But if they want to say, hey, take the number 8 pick and player X,
for Kyle Kuzma. I mean, that seems to be like what the Wizards would be looking for. And then you got Memphis at 9. Memphis may not want another, you know, young kid. They may want a guy like Kyle Kuzma to get back into the playoff hunt real quick. They got the 9th pick. So yeah, those are two teams that I look out for in that scenario.
Well, I haven't looked at the dollar figures for those teams and who they have to trade. Like, sure, I mean, I know the Spurs have like Keldon Johnson, like they could match salaries with or something. But I also, like, you have to make sure that Kuzma is there, that Kuzma is a type of player that basically those teams want, right? I don't know that Kuzma is the type of player that San Antonio is looking for. Maybe he's the type of player that Memphis is looking for. But again, they definitely have like a type when it comes to how they draft and everything else. So, I haven't looked at the salaries, but you know, it is a lot of money and you've got to put out a certain amount of dollar to get him back. And so what do they have? Like what kind of throwaway contracts or what kind of contracts do they have of a player that they would be willing to give up in order to get those players outside of the draft pick? Right. Yeah.
Very true.
So,
very true.
I the Kings don't always have the best deal. I can honestly, like, that's been the case like multiple times where even at the deadline with, I give the Kings a break for the PJ Washington deal and Daniel Gafford deal. They didn't have what those teams got for those players, right? They didn't have that to offer. And, but I think the Kings at this point, they do have, again, they have $27 million in expiring contracts. They've got another $35 million between Herter and Barnes. Like they've got pieces that they can move.
A couple of updates to our AI generated.
Oh, no. How they keep updating.
Our AI generated chat summaries. This one says the Sacramento Kings won against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Sounds right.
And fans are celebrating their victory. They are excited for the team's future, and many players and commentators are receiving praise for their performance. This one was taken moments ago. Viewers are discussing what to do about a shortage of popular restaurants in the city. Some are suggesting new locations for popular restaurants like Malik's. It gets better. While others, I got it. Hang on. While others are sharing their memories of popular restaurants like King of, I got it. Hang on. Others are sharing their memories of popular restaurants like King of Curls.
I'm telling you, we're getting AI out of there. Three games.
What is AI doing? What are they doing?
You know what the worst part about this is? Is I obviously we have the entire chat from Twitter, YouTube, Twitch in front of us, so it's not the same chat that you guys see. We see one that incorporates all of the different platforms.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know, like, how are you guys getting this? I go to YouTube and it pops up right there in the chat, and it's a summary of what is being discussed, and that is what AI has determined we're discussing.
Yo, AI is crazy.
That's what, 7 in a row against the Lakers, though?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Beat the Lakers again.
I don't know who's crazier, AI or Buddha.
I didn't see what Buddha said. I was like,
Buddha almost broke me.
Almost nothing. I saw you put your head down. I was like, I'm just going to focus on James. I don't know what's going on in the chat. I'm just going to focus on James.
Buddha came on the show today. He called in.
Buddha, I'm full for that one.
What Buddha say?
That's crazy.
You got to put it. What Buddha, share with the class.
Find it. Try on there.
I try to. All right.
Dedication, I guess.
Buddha, we don't need you to do that.
Look. You guys, I don't even know what happened here.
Buddha, we don't need you to. We don't need you to turn into bubbles from the wire. Like, you're all right, bro. We're good.
This has been the best Malik Monk day ever.
This
I can't wait for next June 21st.
We are celebrating. Hey, mark it in your calendars. We are celebrating Malik Monk Day every year moving forward. James, is James frozen? Man. Did James freeze?
Froze.
Oh my God.
I don't think we're topping this show today.
This is the greatest show ever.
This is it. It's 10 out of 10.
James is frozen. What? James is going on vacation, and he is frozen with the Home Alone face.
What?
All right.
Oh, man.
This is the most fitting end to an episode of D'Lo and KC in history.
Guess we'll try to top this Monday.
Man.
Happy Malik Monk Day,
Happy
everybody.
Malik Monk Day. We will see you back here Monday. Beginning with the Insiders at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Almost Malik Monk.